Desire your prayers again. We'll look into the Word of God for a little bit this afternoon. Appreciate God's goodness to us. Sister said something in her prayer about making it through at any cost. And I want to, by the help of the Lord, want us to consider the thought of counting the cost. Sometimes we talk to the sinners and tell them that they're going to have to count the cost, the price that we have to pay in this. I want to talk to us for a few minutes this afternoon about counting the cost. Let's look at a scripture. Jesus speaking over here in the 14th chapter of Luke. And start at verse 25. And there went out great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intendeth to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. But what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In the natural life, when we make decisions to make big purchases for, and I consider a house and a car is probably the biggest purchases that we make. Cars can get pretty expensive today too. But before we go signing a contract for a house, we need to, if we're wise, we'll sit down and we'll determine whether, well, you know, we're going to be able to make these payments. You know, we find out what our income is, what's coming in, and how much is going to have to be going out. Pay not only the payment for the house, but to pay for the electric and the water and the gas and whatever it is that we heat the house with. And all the utilities that are involved and taxes and all those kind of things. And we need to know, we ought to know that how much is coming in for the month and how much is going out for the month. And how much does that leave us to live on, to buy groceries and do whatever we buy, our gasoline, whatever we do with life. Same way it is with living for the Lord. When we start out this race, and it's a race, it's an endurance race. When we start out this life living for the Lord, there's some things that we might as well consider right from the very start. And we might as well know in our hearts and accept it to be so, because Jesus told us it was. One of the things that he told us was, he said, the world's going to hate you because it hates me. So we know that when we start out on this life and living for the Lord, we know that we're not going to be popular. We know that the people are not going to like us so much. As a matter of fact, the Christians get scoffed at and laughed at and persecuted and those kind of things. We might as well just accept that as part of the cost. of the cross of Jesus Christ. We might as well just accept that. Well, the Lord here said that we needed to, He said, hate mother and father, which hate here means to love less. Mother and father and wife and children, brothers, sisters, yea, and your own life also. So we know that in living for the Lord is when we start out, and how important is it? Let's just ask ourselves this afternoon, how important is it to, when we start out living for the Lord, that we finish what we started? You know, there's a lot of people in life that start out on things and they never finish what they started. But you and I, when we are born into the kingdom of God and we start out on this race, folks, we're doing this to glorify God. To glorify a risen Savior today. We're doing this for His sake, for Jesus' sake. And when we fail to make it through, when we fail to endure with this to the end, it can bring a reproach upon Him. A reproach upon His cause. It may say to someone, well, you know, I knew they wasn't going to be able to make it. I knew they couldn't live that kind of a life. And it says that God doesn't have the grace to give us to make it. And He does. He has everything we need to make it. But Lord, help us when we, as we live for the Lord, count the cost. Because there is a cost. And what this little dissertation means to me is that it represents a lack of understanding on some people's part to be a disciple. Without considering the difficulties that we're going to meet with and the strength that we're going to need to enable us to be faithful and true. He that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. Which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? You know, sometimes there's people that start to build houses and the money runs out and they just leave it half finished. And it would look really bad, wouldn't it, in neighborhoods to see houses that are just sitting there, empty and abandoned, that are just half finished because people didn't run out of money. Same way it is with you and I. As people look upon our lives and watch our walk with the Lord, folks, we got to realize that when we start out on this, we need a determination. We need a purpose. We need an understanding what it's going to be, what it's going to take to be a disciple of Christ. There's some forsaking here, the Lord says. There's things that we have to put aside. And folks, your allegiance, your love, your desire for your family, we cannot allow that to get in the way of our allegiance and of our love for God. Can't allow it. Because as sure as you allow children or husbands or wives or whoever it might be get in the way between you and your God, folks, I want to tell you, the devil will use that every time. He'll use that to every advantage that he can in order to get us discouraged and to give up along the way. As we go along the way on life's journey, there's some things that we're just going to have to put aside. We've got to put Him first above and beyond everything else, don't we? It's Christ first. He's our Lord, our Savior. He's the one that died for us, that gave His life for us. He's the one that came that you and I could have life everlasting. And there's things that we're just going to have to put aside. And He said, even your own life also, didn't He? Even my own life also. That's where a lot of people struggle with living for the Lord. It seems like it comes down sometimes how important my life is. How important that I live and that I not die. When afflictions come or whatever may come my way, my life becomes pretty important to me, doesn't it? But I think about the Apostle Paul, what he says in the 20th chapter of Acts. He said, I go bound in the Spirit. I go bound in the Spirit, not knowing the things that are going to befall me there. But he said, neither do I count my life dear unto myself. Folks, there's some cost counting that we're going to have to do. If we let self, our life get in the way, if we let others get in the way between us and God, you can rest assured the enemy will take advantage of that every chance that he can. So there's some things that we have to consider today in order to for us to be able to go through the undertaking of the cross. The cross is a place where two ways meet, isn't it? It's two ways meet. Jesus' cross looked like that up there, something like that up there on the wall. It's a cross where your will comes in contrary to God's will. And there's some things that we're just going to have to lay down and submit to and consecrate to. Counting the cost. Lord, help us to be willing to count the cost. For you and I to be a disciple of the Lord, it will require no less than the mighty power of God to support us, to keep us. Realize this afternoon, and I'm sure we do, we'll not do this on our own. It'll take the power of God to keep us and to help us through, because hell and earth will unite to destroy us. Hell and earth will unite to destroy us. We'll come against you and I. Lest haply after ye have laid the foundation and not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Lord, help us this afternoon. I'm not standing here to tell you that it's going to be easy. I'm not telling you that it's all a cakewalk. I'm not about to tell you that. But I am going to encourage you this afternoon to count the cost. Be sure you're able to pay the price. And I think we can do that in our daily walk with the Lord. I think we can do that on our daily prayers, in our daily meditations and talking with the Lord. When the Lord shows us a place where we need to cough it up, give it over to Him. When the Lord shows us same places and needs that we have, we can do that in our daily walk with the Lord. There's a cost in making heaven our home. We say salvation is free, and it was. It was free. Jesus paid the price. There's a consequence to sin, isn't it? And Jesus paid the price of the consequence of sin for you and I. He paid that price. But you and I are going to have to lay some things down. His mother, his father, his wife, and his children, brother. We cannot let earthly ties get in our way here, folks. Can't let them do it. We must put Jesus first. He said he cannot be my disciple. He went on to say in this little dissertation, or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first, and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. You know, that makes me think of Gideon and his army. Remember that story in the Bible? Whenever there was hundreds of thousands of people of the enemy, and the Lord worked with Gideon and brought his little army down to 300 men, didn't he? Folks, we've got to, let's be assured this afternoon to know that one man with God is a majority. If you've got God, and God will bless you, and God will encourage you, and God will stand by you. He's our hope. He's our strength. He's our great reward, the Scripture says. He's our refuge and our help in time of trouble and need. But it's going to be a cost to us. There's places and times in our walk with the Lord, things that we're going to have to be willing to cut off. Things that we're going to have to be willing to let down when He calls for it. When He calls for it. And you know, the Lord works with each and every one of us individually. And I don't know how long it's been since I brought this out here in our little congregation. But I want to say, as the Lord deals with you individually, and He shows you things that He wants you to do, things to let go of, things to give up, things to take on, Whatever He deals with you and I individually, don't try and make that a standard for the church. Don't try to take that and make that a standard for everyone else. God knows what it's going to take to get you to heaven. He knows what it's going to take to get me to heaven. He knows where the strongholds may have been in my life. He knows the things that are more tempting to me than they may be to you. He knows all of those kind of things. And as God deals with me individually, and He's put His hand on things in my life that I wouldn't call sin, but He's required it of me, and I don't put that on anybody else. But as God deals with us from day to day, from time to time, and He shows us places or things in our life, we need to give it to the Lord. We need to submit to that. But we need to keep that for ourselves as between us and God. Because we do have standard of the church. There is a Bible standard. But my conscience is not a Bible standard, is it? And how the Lord deals with me personally and individually is not a Bible standard. But it may be what God requires of me in order to make heaven. That's part of counting the cost. As I go on to live for the Lord and learn of His ways and learn of the things. Do you think that the Lord has done everything that He wants to do with you today? You think that He might still have some places that He wants to point out? I do. I know that He still has some places that He wants to point out to Larry. Things that are Larry that He wants Larry to get rid of. But He doesn't overwhelm us. He doesn't bring it on us all at once. But He works on us from day to day. Let's take one day at a time. And as God brings it, we deal with it. We count the cost. And we say, Lord, we give that to You. I give it to You, Lord. Because that's what it's going to take to endure to the end. As He shows us our needs and our way. I'd like to look at a scripture in 2 Corinthians. The 4th chapter. Try not to be up here too long. I know I was at lunch with you, so I know what we all ate. I know we're going to get sleepy and tired. And I don't preach too good to people that are sleeping. But it says here in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in the 4th verse. I'm sorry, the 6th verse.
What chapter?
4th chapter of 2 Corinthians in the 6th verse. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I tell you, that's an encouraging verse of Scripture to me. He shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. You know, God has got greater knowledge, greater understanding. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. But gently He leads and prods us along and leads us to a closer walk with Him, leads us into the direction of heaven. And every time that He comes and talks to us and shows us something, that's part of the counting of the cost. We got to count the cost. Are you willing to give it to the Lord? Are you willing to submit to His will? That's counting the cost. He said here, we have this treasure, verse 7, in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. What kind of vessels are that? You know, one of the writers said vessels here mean shells. We're just a shell. You ever walk along the beach? Do you ever see the shells there on the seaside? And some of those shells are so fragile, you step on them and they just crumble. And they just all break up. You've seen them. We've all seen them that's been to the beach, and we probably all have. But He said here, we're earthen vessels. We're just shells. But we have this treasure in us, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Folks, as I count the cost in my life and what it's going to cost me, what I may have to give up, what God is going to require of me, what God wants me to do for Him. I was telling my wife last night, we was talking about going to meetings and going here and going there. And I said, you know, I'm tired and I'm weary and maybe the Lord's about done with me. I don't know. But I said, I got to tell you, I promised Him that whatever he wanted, that's what I would do for him. Because, and I told her this, because I owe him my life. I owe it to him. Saints, we owe it to him. We owe him our life. Whatever he requires, whatever the cost may be, sometimes it's a pretty high cost to us. Something that may be very dear to me. Something that may be very precious. But if he requires it, the song says, take the dearest thing to me, if that's the way that it must be. God is, he's not a harsh God. He's not a hard God. He's not going to require things just to discourage us and to get us down. But he's going to do what's best for us, isn't he? He's going to require the things that will hinder our walk with the Lord and hinder our way in making heaven our home. He knows how to, the Scripture says, he knows how to winnow our path, to get the things out of our path, things that we would trip over, things that would be obstacles to us. He knows how to get those things out of the way to help you and I make heaven. We don't know how to do that, folks. We would always, given our way, we will always take the path of least resistance, just like water does. We'd be just as unstable as water, given our way. We'd take the path of least resistance. But sometimes God allows obstacles to come in our way. Sometimes God allows things to work in our life. Because he goes on to say here, he said, the excellency of the power is of God. It's not of us, but it's of God. And I'm so thankful for that today. I'm thankful for the power because it takes his great power, the power of God to support us, to give us strength. Saints, we need strength. We need strength. We get tired. We get weary. Spiritually and physically, we get tired and weary and we need strength. We get all that from God. Any man need anything from God? Let him ask. Let him ask of God who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. But he went on to say, you know, Paul, got to remember who's saying this, Paul. He knows what he's talking about. If we know the life of Paul, the ministry that he had and the obstacles that was put in his way, the beatings and the stripes and all the things that he went through, the perils of his own countrymen and of the brethren, he said, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. Paul here, these little sayings here, Paul talks a lot when he talks about running races, and Paul's talking about the sports games they had over in Rome. He's talking about wrestling here. Do you know sometimes you feel like you got to wrestle with the Lord? You're wrestling with things in your life? I do. I feel like I'm wrestling with this or I'm wrestling with that. And that's what Paul's talking about here. We're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. There's a light and a darkness here. Trouble is darkness, but distress means that there's light, that God is there with us. The excellency of His power is of God. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. My sideline here in my Bible says, suffering for Christ. We're going to go through some things. What man of you intending to build a tower doesn't sit down and count up the cost? There's a cost. There is a cost. You and I are going to have to endure some things, and enduring is not, doesn't mean we're shouting, but we've got to endure some things. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. You know the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Don't you love His promises that are in the Word of God, folks? He will never leave us or forsake us. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Oh, He may permit me to be persecuted in one form or another, but He won't forsake me. He'll never leave me. That's a promise. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm so grateful for that. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Now, I venture to say, if I know anything about humans. If I know anything about us, folks, even in our saved lives, there's been times when we've been cast out. There's been times where the enemy, it seems like things have just come in so... The enemy comes in like a flood, the Scripture says. Things just overwhelm us and we feel so cast down. But He said, not destroyed. God's not going to let them destroy us, folks. God's going to keep you and I. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. I'm so grateful for this. I was, just a few weeks ago, I was going through a heavy trial and load, and the Lord gave me this very Scripture right here. Oh, my feelings? Yeah, my feelings are going to experience some things. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by feelings. We walk by the grace of God, not by our feelings. Our feelings, folks, sometimes... I'll just tell you, Thursday morning down in Holly Hill, I preached the morning service. Whenever I finished, I went straight over to our room, my room, and I went to bed. I had to go to bed. I was tired and wore out. Dinner bell rang. I didn't go to dinner. Told Brother John, go on. I got a rest. Later on that evening, the Lord had been dealing with me. And when it come time to go to service Thursday night, I'm laying there and I'm thinking, Lord, am I going to be able to get out of this bed and have enough energy and strength to change my clothes to go back to church? That's just how I felt. That's how weak the body is sometimes. Lord, am I going to... Do you know that I not only had enough energy and strength to change my clothes and go to service, I preached again Thursday night? And I don't know where it comes from, but the Lord gives you strength and energy to do what He wants you to do. And I want to encourage every one of you, whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is that is before you, you say, Lord, I just don't see how I'm going to be able to do it. If He wants you to do it, He'll give you grace to do it. He'll give you the strength to do it, if that's what He wants you to do. Folks, we've got to trust in Him. I don't know what people do without the Lord. I don't know what they do. I don't know how they make it. I don't see how they can keep any kind of encouragement in their heart at all in these dark days that we live in. But I'm thankful this morning, or this afternoon, that I can trust in my Lord and Savior. Oh, I get low. We all get low. And like I said, the feelings. The feeling says, Lord, I just don't think I can do this. The Lord says, you can do it. You can do it. I'll give you the grace. I'll be with you. I haven't left you yet. The Lord says, I'll be with you. And He'll give you the grace to do it. He went on to say, Paul said, always bearing about in the body. In this old body, folks. This old worn out body. He said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. When the old body gets down, when it gets tired, when we're going through something that's hard, Lord help me to count the cost now. Don't wait till you get in the trial to start counting the cost. Count the cost. As the Lord deals with us, folks, He will prepare us for trials. He won't just allow us to go into places blind. He'll prepare us if we'll let Him. He'll get us ready for those things. Whenever we get in a hard, difficult place, folks, that's no time to pour the foundation. Get the foundation poured before the flood comes, the water comes, so the foundation has a chance to dry out and harden up and get solid. Because the waters are going to come. We know that. We know they're going to come. The floods are going to come. But He said here, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be faithful. As we count the cost daily, as we endeavor to live for the Lord daily, there's a cost. He went on to say, we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Don't you want His life made manifest in your life? Don't you want that? Folks, we sat down to build a tower. Lord, help us to count the cost. There's a cost to it. There's a price that you and I are going to have to pay. We're going to have to be willing that even when I don't feel like it, that I'm going to do it. Because that's what God wants me to do. I'm going to be faithful. Some of you folks that I'm looking at here today, you drive so many miles to come here. And it humbles me deeply. Humbles me greatly. To think of the miles that some of you folks drive to come here and be in service. And it puts a weight on me and saying, Lord, I said, Lord, give me something to feed these precious souls. Don't let them be wasting their time. Give them something. Give them something that will encourage them, challenge them, lift them up, strengthen them, be a blessing to them. Oh, Lord, we need one another, folks. We really do. We need one another. We're always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. So it's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about a blood-soaked Savior, isn't it? It's about a blood-soaked Savior that hung on a cross. Stripes on His back, crown of thorns on His head. That's what it's all about. Folks, let's run for the Lord. Running for our lives. Pay the price. As we count the cost, and the Lord shows us what the cost is, pay the price. Whatever the cost may be. Sister said it in her prayer just this afternoon. Lord, help us to make heaven at any cost. We got to make it, don't we? But when we say those kind of things, sometimes we pray the prayer. Brother John and I was talking about this coming back from Holly Hill Friday. We say, Lord, we talk about our loved ones and say, save them at any cost. Oh, folks, we don't know what that may be. We don't... It may take their life. And it may take our life. It may take me to die before my children finally get it in their heads and get an understanding of what it's really going to mean to go out into eternity. To meet God. The cost. Live every day ready to die. Ready to give it all over to the Lord. And not necessarily dying literally, but dying out to self. Pay the price. Pay the cost. Whatever it is, Lord, give us the grace to do it. Another scripture. Romans, the 8th chapter. I don't know about you, I was starting to say we all like it, but I really like this scripture here, the 8th chapter of Romans, 35th verse. Who? Now, I'm going to say what? What are we going to let separate us from the love of Christ? What is there a price that's too steep for us to pay? Is there a cost that's too great? Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? We're going to let that do it? We're not willing to pay that price? Distresses? Persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I want to be willing to pay the price. Whatever the cost, just as the prayer was prayed. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, I think about Jesus. That scripture talks about Him. But Brother Rick was reading in our Sunday school lesson in 9 and 6 of Isaiah about the coming of the Lord, prophecy of the Lord. But that 7th verse says that of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Saints, let me tell you a little bit how to behave yourselves. Don't hang God up on a hook somewhere and say, I'll come back by and get you when I need you. But you need Him every hour. Of the increase of His government in our lives, in everything that we are, in everything that we do, and giving us grace to pay the price of the increase of His government and peace. There's no end to this. He's continually working in every one of us. Some people have the idea, Lord, I only need you when I get in the hard places. Well, I need Him every day. I need Him every day. I remember years ago, I guess I wasn't even all that old then, but maybe 15, 20 years ago, and I was down in Alabama at a singing, and they asked me to speak to the young people. I was the only minister there. They asked me to speak at the young people, to the young people. I get that a lot, you know, when there's no one else, they'll come and ask Brother Larry. But I went in the car and I got my Bible and started talking to the Lord, and the Lord gave me scriptures and gave me some thoughts. And so I went in there and I read it to them. Of course, the old people were all standing around listening too. And I read the scripture where Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And I said, you know, folks, you young folks here, I said, let me remind you that we all ask the Lord for different things. I said, you probably, a lot of you are probably asking Him for help on your exams when you get taking your tests at school. Some of you are asking the Lord to give you grace to deal with your peers and that peer pressure that you face. You're young people. You're asking for things to help you. I said, me? I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord, help me and give me the strength to get out of bed. Because the aches and pains are there. Sometimes I got a right ankle. If I sit down very long, when I get up to walk, it pops and cracks. Reminds me of cereal that they used to advertise. All the time, the joints just popping, cracking, creaking. We ask the Lord for different things, don't we? We all have different needs. And you know what? What'd Paul say about that? My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Isn't that wonderful? All I've got to do, and I say all, but my job, my part, is to pay the price. Count up the cost. Saints, we've all started for heaven. My desire is to see us all make it there. That's my desire. That's my hope. That's my purpose in life, for me to make it and for everyone that I can help to make heaven our home by the grace of God. Oh, He said here, nay, in all of these things we're more than conquerors. Do you feel like you're more than a conqueror? More than a conqueror. I don't just conquer the thing, I destroy it. I overcome it in the name of Jesus. Because I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to give the Lord whatever He requires and whatever He wants for me. I'm willing to give it to Him. And all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword, all of these things, I'm more than conquerors through myself. I can handle it all. That ain't what it says, is it? Through Him, Jesus Christ, that loved us. We never, as long as we're in this life, get over our dependency on Him. We are dependent on Him as long as we're here. For I'm persuaded, I hope we're all persuaded this afternoon, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Hold up here, Paul. I don't know what tomorrow holds, do you? I don't know the things that are going to come. Does it sound like to you, as it does to me, that Paul had something settled? He counted up the cost. When the day that he was struck down on Damascus Road and he found out who was there dealing with him, and he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's what he said, wasn't it? And that's what I said. And I hope that's what you said. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm persuaded that none of these things, nor things to come. I don't know what's around the corner. And I've told this congregation several times over the years, I don't know in any given situation what Larry will do. But I have seen what the grace of God can do. I've seen it from those that have gone on before me. Those that have been faithful to endure the end. I've seen what the grace of God can do. I want that grace. I want that grace in my life. I think Paul had it. No height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where I am today. I don't know what to expect from tomorrow. I don't know what to expect from the future if I'm even here. But I believe that God wants you and I to be bold in our stand against the enemy. I believe He wants us to be bold. Folks, you need to be honest with the devil. You let him know what you will and what you won't do. Be honest with him. Be bold in your walk with the Lord. And as I said this morning, what He does for the church, He does for every one of us individually. He's with every one of us. Nothing, Paul said, is going to separate. If I can paraphrase it here, Paul said, nothing's going to separate me. I'm not going to let anything separate me from the love of God. Oh, we all love her. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. But if that's the way they want to go, they're going to have to go it alone. Because I'm going to stay with the Lord. I set out. I know what it costs to build this tower. Thus far, today, everything the Lord has revealed to me, I've endeavored to pay the price and to give it over to the Lord's hands. Let me read one more scripture and I will sit down, Lord willing. Found in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians. I love this little prayer. It's been a while since I've used it in a message, but Paul said in the 14th verse of 3rd chapter of Ephesians, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you," that's us, "according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." I pray that prayer for every one of us today, that we will be strengthened with His might by His Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Saints, do you know the love of Christ today? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Oh, I've had people say, "What makes you think you're so special? What makes you think you're so good?" It isn't me, I can tell you that. But I know the love of Christ. I have His love in my heart. I have His Holy Spirit directing in my life. That's probably what makes me different from the world, isn't it? Is to have Christ within me. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you imagine being filled with God? Can you imagine being filled with all of the fullness of God? You know what? I'm not going to take anything away from your experience or your salvation, but I just wonder, have any of us really attained all the fullness of God? I haven't. I still want more. I still want more. And there'll probably be a cost. There'll probably be a price, but I still want more. To know that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then we love this verse. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly all that you are able to ask or think. Boy, we can sure think of a lot of things, can't we? He's able to do abundantly above whatever we ask or think. But it has something to do with us. Paul said, according to the power that worketh within you. You want power with God? You want power with Him, folks? Count the cost. Pay the price. And he said, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. I was reading the scriptures maybe yesterday afternoon. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow! But you know what? I believe that takes a consecrated life, a consecrated sacrifice. And I believe Jesus is talking about anything we ask in His name according to His will, He'll do it for us. But I know one thing. He'll keep us. I know this. He'll keep us from the enemy of our souls. He'll do that for us. And He'll bless us. And He'll help us along life's way. So may the Lord help us to be willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever the song says, whatever it takes, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. I want to be faithful to that end. These are your prayers. Amen.